This sermon is about one of the more obscure individuals in the Old Testament. Perhaps you've heard of this man, perhaps not. The man's name is Achan, A-C-H-A-N. His story is found in the book of Joshua, and it's not a happy or joyous story. It's actually a very sad story, but it contains lessons for all of us. We can turn to Joshua 7, just some brief background. The story of Achan takes place right after the miracle of the fall of Jericho. And by the way, that was, you know, associated with the Days of Unleavened Bread, that time frame. Jericho was the first victory that God granted Israel in the new land of Canaan. And you probably recall the victory, the priests walking around Jericho for 7 days, then blowing the trumpets, the walls fall down, the city is taken and destroyed. Let's take a look, Joshua 7, but let's just back up one verse into chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 27. It sums it up. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. It was the thrill of victory throughout as Joshua and Israel obtained utter defeat of the enemy. But right on the heels of victory, we have the account of Achan, right after the Days of Unleavened Bread. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. He took of the cursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Well, what's that talking about? Well, you have to back up to the prior chapter. In chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Here are the instructions. "But you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." What's the accursed thing? Well, the silver and gold, spoils from the victory. It says, "But the silver and gold, the vessels of brass and iron, they are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come to the treasure of the Lord." In other words, not your treasure, but to the treasure of the Lord. Specific instructions. And it was a warning. Warning that it was dedicated to God, placed in the temple of the Lord. And at the point in verse 1 of chapter 7 now, nobody knew this had happened. Nobody knew that Achan had done anything. Well, what happened? Verse 2 says, "Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai," Ai, which is prophesied of artificial intelligence, "which is besides Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up, view the country.' All the men went up and viewed Ai." Like, sure, we just took care of Jericho, no problem. "They returned to Joshua and said, 'Let's not everyone go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 go up. Smite Ai and make not all the people labor, for they are but few.'" In other words, a piece of cake. "But there went up there the people, about 3,000 men, but they fled before the men of Ai," or Ai. "And the men killed 36 of the Israelites. They chased them from the gate, from going down, and the hearts," it says, "the hearts of the people melted. They became as water." This was an incredible shock after everything they had been through. They were absolutely shocked by this defeat. It was totally unexpected what was going on. Verse 6, "Joshua tore his clothes. He fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord till the eventime, and he and the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads." They were absolutely distraught over what was going on. Verse 7, Joshua then appeals to God. "Alas, O Lord, why have you brought the people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. That's very uncharacteristic of Joshua, if we know about Joshua, to say that. Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, will environ us around, cut our name from the earth. And what will you do to your great name? So he's sending a really poignant complaint to God. We've gone to victory, to defeat, from courage to fear. Why? Well, the Lord said to Joshua, get up where you lie. Why are you lying on your face? Get up. Israel has sinned. That's the problem. And they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken even of the accursed thing. They have stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. So God reveals something is very wrong in Israel. There's a great sin, and all of Israel is bearing the guilt. It's collective guilt brought about by one man, Achan. It disgraced the entire 12 tribes. And furthermore, God says, if it's not, the sin is not dealt with, no more victories. No more victories for Israel. A quote from the New Bible Commentary about this. It says, the sin of one member of the community was held to be that of the whole people. Israel was now a nation, and the sin of the individual was the sin of the nation until the nation repudiated it, unquote. I thought that was excellent commentary. Verse 13, sanctify the people tomorrow, says the Lord God. It's in your midst, and it has to be taken away. Verse 14, in the morning shall be brought out the tribes, and it shall be that the tribe that the Lord takes shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take come from the household, and a household shall take man. In other words, we're going to find out, and God is going to direct who is the culprit, or culprits. I mean, really, to know is one guy at this point in time, right? Verse 15, and it shall be that he that is taken will be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant and brought, as it says, folly in Israel. So God gives the instruction to root out the problem. Although it's not stated, it's likely Joshua used lots to determine who was the perpetrator. And verse 16, he rose up early in the morning. He brought Israel by their tribes, and Judah's taken. Okay, we're down to the tribe of Judah. And then comes down to the family of the Zarhites. Well, they're brought out man by man, and Zabdi is taken. And then it boils down in verse 18 to the culprit, Achan, and he is taken. So with God's, direction, it was determined that he was the one that had taken the spoils against God's command. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, I pray you glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession. Tell me, what have you done? Don't hide it. Come on, you've been picked out. What did you do? Tell us. And he answered Joshua and he said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. Probably explain exactly what he did. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of weight, I coveted them. It was all about the money. I took them, behold, they're hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, also with the silver. And he confessed. And you can imagine he probably was stunned, like, they found out that I did this. He had to be absolutely stunned that it was figured out what he had done, because he had hid it and found out in a miraculous way. Well, Joshua, in verse 22, he sent messengers. They ran. They found it. And then verse 24, Joshua and Israel, they took Achan, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons, daughters, oxen, and donkeys, sheep, ten, and all that he had, they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? Why have you troubled us? The Lord is going to trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Wow, dramatic, sad ending. The punishment, sure and swift. He was totally guilty of God's command. And we just finally read in verse 26. And they raised over him a great heap of stones to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, and the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And it just means trouble. So that's the story of Achan. What can we learn from them as Christians? Number one, God means what he says. God means what he says. His command was just that. It was a command. And he was angered by the transgression. We need to take all of God's commands very, very seriously. Number two, there was collective guilt in one sense that one man spoiled the whole carton, so to speak. We can liken it to what? A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? Do our individual actions affect the church? Yes, they do. It brings down the whole, since each of us is part of the collective whole. Our personal actions do matter. Again, not just for our sake, but for the sake of the entire church. Number three, Achan's sin was done in secret. But of course, his secret was uncovered, and God purged him out. God sees all. You know, Achan was playing games, very serious games. He thought he had tricked Joshua and the elders and the people. But God, of course, knew exactly what he had done. God is not mocked. Our sins will be dealt with. Perhaps not in the spectacular way that we read about the story of Achan, but we reap what we sow. So let's learn the lessons from the story of Achan. His example, obviously a very bad one, is there as a warning to all of us. Let's go forward during these days of unleavened bread in full obedience to God wholeheartedly, since it not only strengthens us personally, but it strengthens the body of Christ, the church.